Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership, a proven and powerful process for unlocking the full potential of the people and teams across your organization, giving you the competitive advantage in the marketplace. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Business for Good, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. Imagine having a mission to positively impact 3 million lives. Yes, 3 million lives. That, my friends, is exactly what our guest on Conscious Curiosity SD is doing. Heather Moyer, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So Heather is the founder and CEO of H&M Systems. H&M Systems is an award-winning staffing and consulting partner in the telecommunications, utilities, and IT sector. H&M has been identified as one of the fastest growing businesses multiple times, and Heather has been noted as one of the top leaders in San Diego. She's an active philanthropist, wife, and mother. So the only obvious question is, do you sleep?
Not this week.
All right. It's always questionable. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Let's jump in here. So what happened to you, Heather, to cause you to have the desire to positively impact 3 million people?
Yeah. So I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I grew up with a mom who taught me that I could do and be anything I wanted to be.
And you believed her?
I did.
All right.
Yeah, that's how I got here. And she had an interesting story. You know, she ended up a single mom with both of my brothers, almost on food stamps, and put herself through her bachelor's, master's, and PhD program and became the dean of education for Fresno State University. And as we were growing up, my brothers and I, she instilled a deep desire and belief in us that we could change the world. And like I said, that we could do anything we wanted. Initially, when I started the business and I thought about being an entrepreneur, I wanted to truly make an impact. I started the business with the intention that I was going to flip that model upside down and that the people that worked for us were going to be our true customers. And so really that people orientation and that focus is what has helped us to be very successful.
That's the whole conscious capitalism mindset
right there, right? That's right.
Get the employees right and some amazing things will happen.
That's right.
So your mom was a walking, talking example of being able to do big things.
She was. And anytime my brothers and I ever doubted ourselves, she reminded us that whether we think we could or we think we couldn't, we were right. You know, the Henry Ford quote's one of my favorites. And she reminded us, you know, what we were made of. And so I was an entrepreneur from the get-go. I was that little girl selling bracelets in front of the store. I was trying to build an amusement park in the neighborhood. You know, so I had that entrepreneurial spirit from a young age.
I got to share, I had one of my guests in there. She actually went into her mother's jewelry and sold them to the neighbors.
Thankfully, I didn't do that.
True entrepreneur.
I do have an interesting story, but I'm not going to tell it here. I think maybe that's
a little bit better profit margins that way if you steal the jewelry first. I'm sorry.
Hopefully her mom doesn't listen to this podcast.
Her mom went and retrieved all her jewelry. She was pretty young at the time.
Yeah.
Well, that's an awesome story. So let's talk about the business a little bit and how that's all come to be, what that look like, and give us a little more details on the business. How did it start? What exactly do you do? And
yeah, it's a great story, actually. So we just celebrated our 13th anniversary, which is amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we're a professional services consulting and staffing firm. And we have three different verticals. So we focus in wireless and wireline, and that would be your typical 5G commercial Wi-Fi enterprise and carrier wireless. And the network and utility construction. So that's where we work with all the utility companies to do electrical distribution design. And then we have an IT consulting division as well. And really, you know, I started the business just in wireless and wireline. And as connectivity has evolved over the last 13 years, I decided to open those other two business units in those verticals. And it's just been a tremendous growth for me as a person, tremendous growth as a leader. And the industry obviously has been growing pretty substantially. Good place to be. Yeah.
What drew you to that to start out with? Why did you pick that industry?
It's such a great story, actually. So I was the president of an IT staffing company here in San Diego, and I was traveling, gosh, I was on probably 4 airplanes a week. So, you know, I was 26. I was working like 100 hours a week, and I got fogged into San Francisco International Airport. Anybody who's traveled has probably been fogged into SFO. And I ended up in a conversation with an electrical engineer, postgrad from Stanford. We spent probably 2 or 3 hours just talking about mobility and wireless and the future of connectivity. We ended up getting on the airplane several hours later, and he came back and found me and gave me his business card and said, I'd really love for you to have lunch with my wife and I. And really, that kicked off just the start of a relationship. And we talked for about 12 months. I did a lot of research on the industry, trying to identify what the market opportunity was. And then 13 years ago,
so you don't just leave.
I mean, I left a big job and I had a really great relationship with that CEO. She taught me everything I knew at a very young age. But I really felt that the IT staffing part was becoming commoditized. And so I wanted to get into an industry that was niche.
Looking to grow.
Yes, exactly.
So that was the business part of it, right? Then you said, I wanted to flip it on its head and I wanted to do it differently. What did that mean to you at that time? And what does that look like today? And
well, I'm so glad I did. You talked a little bit in the introduction about my goal to positively impact 3 million lives. When I started the company, my goal was to improve the quality of life of others. And it's interesting. I think 5 years into the business, one of my coaches brought to my attention that I wasn't including myself in that vision. Oops. And isn't that so interesting how we do that? We think
it's like consultants, you know, you tell people what to do. And every once in a while, I actually do what I tell people, like, oh, wow, exactly. This actually works.
It's amazing. So when I started the business, and I really looked at what staffing companies and consulting companies were doing at that time. They were treating people as commodities. Everybody was a number. They didn't have benefits. They didn't have 401k. They didn't have any of those things that I felt like were really important in terms of quality of life. So I decided that I was going to flip that model upside down and that our employee was going to be our customer. And we provided and continue to provide exceptional benefits and just a bunch of things that are not standard in the industry. One of our core values is be home base. And what that means is, you know, we're part career coach, part consulting company. And we really work very hard with our employees to ensure that they're growing personally and professionally. And that really was incredibly successful. I would say we got to our first $10 million in revenue on referrals, 100% referral business. And really it was because we were putting those employees first and then those employees became our customers.
I love that.
Yeah.
So give us a story and leave the name out or whatever, but of where you just said, wow, this is really working. You maybe saw this in a particular individual or something.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Gosh, I have so many. What I would say is one of my 7th employee was an engineer and he came from the Middle East. And he was having a really hard time getting placed because he didn't have any domestic experience. So he was an exceptional electrical engineer, but there was a bias. And I gave him an opportunity to work at a very large amusement park in Orlando and to design 49.
Starts with a D.
I don't know. And to design 49 square miles of Wi-Fi. My favorite part of the story is that he is now an engineering lead at another large amusement park in Orlando. And we are now doing all of the wireless there.
Wow.
So it's another project. And it truly was. I mean, I think our team helped to throw his first baby shower and our team just showed up in a really meaningful, authentic way. People don't forget that.
Right. So obviously this is the culture, right?
This is the culture. And you have to hire, fire, and make your decisions based on your core values.
I heard you say that, or I read that. You got that. It's kind of a statement you do.
Yeah, yeah.
When does it go the other way? Because that's sometimes the issue too, right? That we're not, people pull the plug it way too long or whatever. So how do you deal with that?
In terms of employee fit.
Yeah, when it doesn't work out.
Yeah, in terms of employee fit. I mean, I think I'm just a very transparent, direct person. And I always take the approach of And this is what I share with my leadership team as well. But I always take the approach of if somebody comes to our organization, my only objective for them is to leave our organization as a better human and leader. So if they learn something from us, whether that's 3 days, 3 weeks, or 9 years, then we've done our job. And like I said, I'm just very direct, you know.
So even if it doesn't work out, the expectations, they will leave a better person than they came in.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's quite the driving force right there.
And I think it's interesting. If you just remember that we're all human and everybody wants to be talked to as an individual, usually when you have a misfit, it's a misfit on both sides. So you just give somebody the opportunity to say, hey, this is a great place, but it's not for me.
Yeah, it's a two-way street.
Totally.
And often people are miserable, but they're not going to pull the plug themselves, right?
No.
Due to whatever reasons. Right. That is part of the job of the leadership, is to do the tough stuff.
It is. Luckily, we're very good at interviewing, so we have a lot of success.
So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because most people aren't.
Well, gosh, I think I've read every book ever written in terms of interviewing, as I should, considering that this is a consulting and staffing firm. I would say we subscribe mostly to the A method for hiring. Really, what I tell all of our clients is you should be interviewing for behavioral patterns, and we want to hire smart first, experienced second. You know, you hear a lot about the willing and capable. Are they willing and are they capable? I'll take willing over capable every single day, as long as, you know, they can train and have their critical thinking skills and that capacities. We have a 94% success rate in our internal staff and our contingent
workers.
So you're
not doing much firing then.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, we outperform the industry by probably 2x. And our fulfillment ratio is, first quarter was 87%. Industry standards, about 31%.
Oh my goodness, Heather.
And that's really, it's exciting. We've started to put together a piece of technology that's taken our proprietary screening process and automated it in a workflow automation application. And it's really just been experience. I've tried a couple different pilot programs. We work in 28 of the 50 states and we support 3 countries. I've just done a lot of testing, and behavioral interviewing is really the way to go.
You just mentioned the word tech. You're in the tech space, right?
Yep.
Starting the technology things. Obviously, everyone needs, as leaders now, needs to be thinking about technology and AI and all these good things. So talk about that a little bit. How's that blending in? How do you deal with that relative to, you know, we want to be a people organization. So
yep.
What's the fit there?
Yep. Love it. Well, relentlessly people-driven is our number one core value. We will always maintain the importance of that. In terms of technology, I just started building this piece of tech. And I'll tell you, even though 13 years in the business.
And then, custom built?
Yeah, custom built. Right. Even though I've been in the business for 13 years, and prior to that, obviously, I ran somebody else's company, it was an opportunity. And you feel nervous doing something, or I should say, I feel nervous. I felt nervous doing something I had never done before. Managing the development of technology is different in-house, and particularly when it's your baby and you're attached to its success. So I took what we have been doing, and I spent a lot of time working with other founders who have built tech stacks, and did a lot of research, did a lot of reading, and used kind of a lean manufacturing type framework for that, and started to develop the tech. So it should be fully complete and live. We're doing it obviously in phases. Phase one, I think, will be totally done in June. And by the end of the year, we should have kind of soup to nuts, the tech fully implemented. And it's interesting. I'm calling it Recruit Code, the code behind recruiting. So Recruit Code AI. And I'm really excited about the scalability in the technology, because
from a business perspective, that's going to create some super value in the business,
yes.
Right? I mean, now you've got like some IP. We got the secret sauce to
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not tied up in a handful of people, and you don't have to be, oh, it's because Heather does such an amazing job that it works. Like, no.
And that's the thing about business. You know, you as a CEO and as a primary, you know, generator of the revenue, you become the bottleneck in the business. And so I've really had to think about that over the last 24 months and get myself out of that position.
And how did you do that?
Oh, a lot of honest discussions with myself.
So how do you do that? Is it walks on the beach, climb a mountain?
All the above.
Meditating in the back room.
I am a big meditator. I was just in Utah also, rock climbing mountains. So we do all those different kinds of things. But, you know, tactically, it's about building a leadership team that is self-sustainable and that can produce and perform without you.
So you can go mountain climbing and somehow the thing still runs.
And having
maybe runs better sometimes, even when I'm not in the building, right?
And so many times, right, that's where we have our best ideas when we're disconnected. So once a year for my birthday, I send myself away for 5 days. As you mentioned, you know, I am a wife and I have 2 kids and I travel extensively. But every October, I send myself away and I totally disconnect from all technology. No phone, no computer, everything's off. That. So my husband calls me with the kids from the desk phone and I chat with him and that's it. And I spend those 5 days, you know, really curating the next year that I want to have. And some of my best ideas have come from that disconnected time.
So that's just you?
Just me. I go all
do
by myself.
Do you take a book as sort of a prompt or do you have a process or yes. I mean, if you're willing to share? I
mean, yeah, of course. Yeah. So every year looks a little bit different.
It just I'm taking notes.
Yes. I mean, it just depends on where I'm at. So the first time I ever did it, the investors that I shared with you, I actually bought them out in 2018. That was just a grueling process. I don't know if you've ever been through a process like that, but it's just extremely laborious and stressful. And so the first time that I went, it was really just decompression and trying to see a way forward. But every year I have different intentions. I do a lot of journaling, a lot of meditation, a lot of silent hikes. And I really, you know, I have a lot of friends and I'm a very social person, but I try to not talk to anybody and just really spend time with me.
You see what you get to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
I too do a lot of that.
Do you?
In fact, my goal is I take the last week of every quarter off.
Okay.
And not quite as disciplined activity as what you're describing, but, and it's kind of weird. It always seems to work out just at the right time for that to happen.
Always.
I mean, I'm out for my daily walk. I live PB, so I get the beach. I got great places, but yeah, that's when it happens.
And what's your process? Is it different every quarter?
No, I got different things.
Yeah.
I'll share a lunch when I'm up to in June.
Sounds great.
I got a big one coming up. But anyways, yeah. Journaling's great too.
Yeah.
I mean, just a capture those thoughts, let that process in some fashions.
Yeah.
I'm a meditator. I believe in that. So yeah.
Have you read Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way?
I have not.
You need to.
I need to read that one.
Yeah. So
check that out.
One of the things that she talks a lot about is spending 15 minutes in the morning and just kind of brain dumping. Just write. And don't self-manage, right? So you just want to write everything filtering. You think about. And it's so interesting because you go back 3 months, 6 months, a year later, and you read what you wrote and think, wow, this seed was in there all these years ago. But you have to create the space to process that.
I don't like to look back at the journals because I always feel like wait a minute, I'm doing the same stuff I was doing. You know, it's like you get stuck. You really are in this little kind of new loop of life or whatever with minor changes, I think is kind of what happened.
Yeah.
Back to the work a little bit. So you shared one of your core values. Talk about values. What are some of the other ones? How do they come to be?
Yeah.
Because so often, you know, someone said back in the good to great, got to have values, got to have a mission. And every company you go into, they got something hung on the wall. That's about as good as it is, right? We got 3 people who made them. We put them on the wall. We're done. Yeah. Check that box.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned this earlier, but you know, you have to be willing to hire, fire, and lose money to stand behind your core values. And so with the leader team, I'll tell them any decision that you make, if you can come in and talk with me and authentically tell me that the decision that you made is based on one of our core values, you have my full support. So you have to put your money where your mouth is. And, you know, there's been situations, I can give you an example. We had a woman that we offered a position to in Virginia, and through no fault of our customer, they lost the project. And it was 2 days before her start date. She's a single mom. She had 2 kids. And my team came to me and, you know, I think my division director cried because she just felt so bad. We called the woman and I said, you know, how long is it going to take you, do you think, to find a job? And we're going to pay you. If we don't have another assignment for you, we're going to pay you until that time. And then I actually called her previous supervisor, who she had given notice to, and had a discussion with him to see if he would take her back into the organization. But we took care of her. And that was a big expense. You know, she was an engineer, but I think you have to do those things. And when you show up that way and your leader team sees that you're willing to do that,
the whole organization sees
the whole organization.
You doing that, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
Kind of
the customer sees that you do that.
Right. It's changed everything about who we are and who we're showing up with. I mean, I think everyone wants to be connected into something. And
yeah. And that's what life's about.
Yeah, it's kind of the big failure of capitalism, right? And we really have tried to turn people into machines.
I know.
I mean, we used to be artisans. We were blacksmiths or whatever, right? We have our name on it. This is what we do. And we're creative. We got to own our own space. And then, I don't know, Henry Ford and gang came along and said, no, we're going to put you a little box over here.
Widget.
And yeah, you're a widget. Yeah, you're a line item on the spreadsheet somewhere. You know, what dissatisfaction at work is like 70-80%, right? People don't find work meaningful.
I know.
And that's because that's what we've created.
It's true.
So the companies that are being successful are doing what you're doing, starting to say, wait a minute. The greatest untapped potential in my business are the people sitting here. The tech can only do so much, right? All these things I can buy. But the people, man, if you can cut that loose.
And it's so interesting. I mean, post-COVID, I think everyone was just seeking and missing connectivity. And whether it's, you know, because you haven't returned to work or you weren't able to leave the house, I think one of the things that we really need to continue to focus on is this connection to each other and the community and really taking good care.
Who else, who's going to do it? I mean, we got to take care of each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. We can do our own thing.
Yeah.
People don't do as well, but yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. What about teams? How do you develop your teams? How do you bring people together to make them sing good praises, get things done effectively and efficiently and on time and on budget and all that kinds of good stuff? How do you make that happen?
Oh, gosh. That's like
how that software project come?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of IFS, the Internal Family Systems Framework.
I have not.
Yes, it's a really interesting framework.
All kinds of good stuff over there.
It's a psychology framework, actually. But I found an executive coach, gosh, probably 3 years ago, and he has his own methodology, which he calls personal mastery, but it's very similar to IFS. And what I did with the initial leader team was I brought in the executive coach and helped them to identify what their top assets were. So what are the things about them that make them successful, uniquely special, and, you know, able to positively impact those 3 million lives like we talked about? And then you mirror those things for the team every single day. Part of that framework is also talking about the parts of you that keep yourself from being your best. For example, I have a paralyzed perfectionist part, right? I want everything to be perfect all the time. I have like an achiever number one, which is great, big surprise. But I have these other parts of me that keep me from having ultimate success or being the best version of myself. And so it's about helping your team and your leaders to identify, hey, what are your unique assets and what are the things that keep you from operating in that all the time? And I talked a little bit before about just really recognizing that everybody has an opportunity to succeed, whether it be at our company or somewhere else. And so we give people the benefit of the doubt and we help them to step into their best selves as well.
So it's really identifying what was my superpower. I'll help people figure that out, right?
Where's your genius?
And then put you in a position to actually go play the game doing that.
Yeah.
Put you in the right spot in the buzz.
And you recognize that it's so different for every single individual. And you help them to appreciate what that genius is in each other. And that's really right where the magic happens, because then they don't need you anymore. They know, hey, this person is exceptionally talented here. Or if I have to negotiate this deal or this conversation, I'm going to tap this person on the shoulders. It's helping them to know self and then helping them to know others.
So in my process, we use appreciative inquiry. Are you familiar with that?
I haven't heard of it.
It's been around for some time, and it's kind of a strengths-based idea. You kind of look in the past where you've had success at something. You're trying to solve something, create something for the future. You look in the past where you've done it before in some fashion, and then you bring it. You're like, well, what was behind that to make that happen?
Yeah.
So even like in my public speaking, I like to use those tools. Like, I'm a facilitator, so like my public speaking is facilitation. So one of the questions I like to ask is, like, what's your hobby? Because it's naturally, you're going to do things you're good at. I mean, why would you have a hobby that you suck at, right?
Yeah.
And so you explore that. What's the hobby? What do you do? Da, da, da. And then you go, well, what's behind that? So even like for me, StrengthFinders is like one of the tools I really like to use. And I did the test like everyone else. Oh, that's kind of interesting. At one point, I don't know why I did this, but I used to race sailboats.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, every weekend you're out going around in circles in the ocean or whatever, right? And I'm like, one day I go, why do I keep doing this? And I looked at my top five strengths and I went, oh. So all top five strengths were honored in sailboat racing for me.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Which opened my eyes to all of a sudden realizing, find that thing you're really good at, match that up to your strengths, and all of a sudden you'll get the, oh, wow, and go, okay, so where else can I go do that?
So interesting. So when I was a little girl, I used to figure skate. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I recently picked it back up. But it makes perfect sense because I decided, you know, I got back on the ice, hired a coach, and then decided I was going to compete. And one of my friends, who's an executive peer group with me, he asked me, he said, why do you think that you are going to go compete? You're having such a great time. And I thought, well, my number one, if we're talking about StrengthsFinder, my number one is like an achiever. I'm an achiever number one. So I can't just go do it. I have to go win, right? I have to go compete against everybody else. That's interesting.
It tells us some stuff about us. It's important to do the self-development kind of work like that and not really figure it out.
Not all complimentary.
So back to the team piece a little bit. So you help people identify who they are, where they play in the bus, and then how do you bring that together as a unit to make that operate well? How do you get this business like humming?
Yeah, I mean, you still need to have objectives and key results. So you have to be really clear about what the mission, obviously, of the organization. So our organization mission is to unite talent, technology, and purpose, right? Positively impact those 3 million lives. But then each of the individuals that, you know, work with you, you have to have really clear key missions and outcomes. So their position has very specific things that they need to accomplish for the business to work as a whole. It's not rocket science. Sometimes you get away from really looking at those missions and key outcomes of the roles, and you have to learn the same lesson over and over again. But I've found that the more clear that you can be with people, the more they appreciate it and the more that they can succeed. Everybody wants to succeed. Everybody wants to feel good about what they're contributing. So the more clear that we can be as leaders, the greater benefit it is to each of our employees. You know, we have cascading OKRs. You know, we have our corporate OKRs, and then we have cascading OKRs for every different business unit and every position. And we have, you know, extreme ownership.
Love that.
Yeah.
To me, there's three things. One, you just talked about, like, put people in places where they can have mastery.
Yes.
Second is give them some autonomy. Let them go own it. Yep. So you have that creativity. I'm a blacksmith, whatever. Yeah. Right? So it's my space. I get to do it. Yeah. And the third is, why am I doing it? What's the grander purpose? Yep. You know, how does this connect to something loftier? And it's a job and I'm making money, right?
And then when we fumble, we fumble. And I think my team, I hope, would say that, you know, things don't always go our way, but when they don't, it's okay. We just want to hear about it. Got to learn from it.
How are you measuring your success against this lofty goal?
The 3 million.
I've thought of this too, right? Kind of the work I do. Yeah. I'm trying to make work meaningful. That's my higher purpose, right? My business. And so how are you measuring this?
So it's one simple statement, and it could be somebody that's worked for us, or it could be, for example, somebody that listened to this podcast. It could be somebody that listened to me do a keynote. And the one question is, has your life been positively impacted from being connected to, listening to, working with, or hearing from us? And then we keep a ticker.
Do you have a scoreboard?
Yes, we have a ticker on the website. So every time we get a yes.
I didn't see that.
We have it on the website. And I really, and I shared this with you.
Okay, but where do I go put my answer in?
I hope it's a yes.
Yeah. So what's this minus one over here?
Yeah, I'll make sure the team sends you your survey when I leave.
There you go. So let's talk about you for a moment here. You talked a little bit about being raised by your mom, and then what was your schooling background?
Yeah, so I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I went to a private elementary school. Then I ended up moving to Fresno, California, and I came down here to San Diego State. So I have a degree in business administration from SDSU. And then I have a lot of extended education. I've done all kinds of certification programs, project management, et cetera, et cetera. The business that we're in is interesting. Also, I'm a certified tower climber and rescue agent. So, you know, those big 150-foot towers.
Well, I was wondering what those guns were all about. You don't look like someone that'd be climbing towers and saving people.
But it's probably one of my clients' favorite things is when I tell them, you know, I've done this. It gives me street cred, right? Because wireless systems have to go on rooftops, on towers, those types of things. So I got it to win a contract with a big equipment, the number one equipment manufacturer globally.
A contest?
It was a contract. Yeah. So
to get the contract.
To get the contract.
But it wasn't a contest that you had to go compete in, right?
No. But it was me and seven Marines. And I had to actually rescue one of the Marines. And I'll never forget, this guy looks at the instructor and said, she's going to rescue me.
Mentorship. I know that's something that's like really important to you.
Yeah.
And also women leaders.
Yeah.
Maybe that combination.
I'm really passionate about mentorship. I'm really passionate about mentorship because I truly don't believe I would be in the position that I'm in without the people that have mentored me. When I went to San Diego State, a friend of my stepfather's had started a student loan consolidation company down here in San Diego. And they weren't hiring interns, but they made an exception for me. And so I think, you know, I was in the first dozen hires. And I worked at that student loan consolidation company. It was a .com, 2001. So everything, all the .coms are doing terrible, but we were growing gangbusters because we were consolidating student loans at 1.75%. So the business was just growing, growing, growing. It was difficult to manage school and work, but I had some really great mentors in that organization. And so I stayed there all through college. They ended up having a really successful exit. They taught me every part of the business, technology, marketing, customer success, sales. Then as they sold the business, one of the founding partners connected me with his wife, who's just an amazing businesswoman. So she, you know, grew up in the Central Valley. Her family owns a big ag company, and she also owns an electronic recycling company. And she has been just an incredible mentor to me. She helped me negotiate a really difficult deal. And when I asked her how I would ever repay her, she said, "You're going to do this for somebody else."
Nice.
And that to me was so purposeful. So I still do a lot of mentorship things. Every year I speak at San Diego State to young women between the ages of 11 and 23 who want to be entrepreneurs. I do everything I can. You know, I sit on a couple different executive peer boards, and we always have a mentorship chair. So I make sure that we always do that. And it's been really fulfilling.
So when you actually personally mentor someone, maybe it's even in the business or whatever, do you have a process? Do you have a way that you approach that?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, some funny things like no agenda, no attenda. It's really the easy stuff, which is understand, you know, keep the end in mind, start with the end in mind, understand where you want to go, and then have measurable metrics so that you both know what you're gunning towards. I made that reference earlier. I do follow the no agenda, no attenda, even with mentorship. You know, we have to have a clear action plan and want things to get done because time is valuable.
That's the project manager in you.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's have a scope statement. Let's have a plan. Let's go work that thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, you have to do what you say. I think it's so interesting. One of the reasons I think I've been so successful in my life is because I do what I say I'm going to do. And that's interesting because not everybody does.
I found it interesting back in when I was in my corporate career and being a manager. And I would offer that to all my employees. Like, hey, I'm happy to... You know, we're doing this thing or we're worried about the business and all this, but I'm willing to go another step if you want to work on development and skills and that kind of good stuff. I would say maybe it was me. Maybe 10% would actually
they won't take you up on it.
Raise their hand, which I thought was always kind of interesting. I was always a little like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you want to do this?
Well, I think
because no one really offered it to me. So that was kind of part of my thing. It just seems like when I'm on the other side, I'm gonna, I wanna do this.
Well, I think you have to have an appetite for growth. And you clearly have an appetite for growth, whether that's personal or professional. Not everybody does. You know, there are
that's
some
true.
People that are happy with where they're at.
90%?
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's
wait, I guess we were hiring poorly. Maybe that's my problem.
You should have hired us to hire for you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Being a mom, how does that all work?
Oh, my gosh. Well, yes. So I have a 10-year-old daughter named Ashlyn. She's actually named after the street that my husband and I met on. And then 7-year-old son named Grayson. And, you know, it's so funny. My husband's a firefighter paramedic. So, of course, daddy's the cool one. You know, they think he's just the best thing ever until they realized, you know, as they started to get devices and they don't have phones or anything like that or Apple Watches, but they did get iPads to do their schoolwork. I was able to explain to them that mommy's company makes their iPads work. They were like, wow, mommy, you're cool.
You're cooler than we thought.
You are cool, mommy. So that's been great. But, you know, in terms of the kids, I had a really good role model in my stepdad. So my stepdad was a university president. And I love what the mayor said about him at his retirement party. And it's so true. She said, the thing about John is he always shows up. And my stepdad has the most exceptional time management skills. And he traveled, gosh, probably 200 days a year, but he never missed the important things. And so he instilled in me an understanding that I could, you know, be both and do both and not miss the important things. You know, the kids have football playoffs. I literally have been known to fly to Ohio for a day and back. I mean,
I
just do what I have to do. And a lot of my clients are the same way. They appreciate it about me.
Well, that's amazing because, I mean, too often... to play the game, whatever the game may be, at the level you're playing, be it a sport or whatever, it becomes such an all-encompassing sort of thing that people tend to give up other things on life.
Yeah.
I remember, so like a long time ago, I was working at a company. I was like a project manager or something. And they were going through the dummy whole thing, quality management thing. And so we had all these trainings. And then at some point, you're supposed to go in and meet with like the big boss, the president of our division or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just kind of turned out like, you know, I'd met him a couple of times or sat in a meeting with him, but I didn't know the guy. So I'm sitting in a meeting and it was like, I was with him. And then everyone else was kind of like a machine operator or something.
Yeah.
So they're just like scared to death.
Right.
And it turns out the guy's kind of introverted. He didn't come in the room and a whole lot of whatever. He's just kind of sitting there. So I started asking him questions. It got kind of weird because all of a sudden he kind of started reminiscing. We're going, well, you know, I've missed so many things with my kids. And I'm like, oh, I mean, I start to feel bad. Like, oh, I shouldn't have asked this question.
How did I walk into this one?
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. I was surprised he even went there, but it was kind of back to that thing. Well, you got this job, and, you know, you got this job, then that means you can't beat the kids thing and all kinds of good stuff. But I think some of that's changing the world today. Again, as we're kind of hopefully evolving and getting them a little more, everything sort of needs to fit together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the best things about being an entrepreneur, right? I am my own boss.
You are in charge. Yep.
The joke is, right, I get to pick any 12 hours in the day I want to work, right? Like, oh, you're an entrepreneur. You get to pick your own schedule. I'm like, yeah, any 12 hours in the day I want to work. I get to pick them. For our organization, one of the things that my team, I hope, would say is that they get to do the important things. So, you know, there's a mommy and me class on Tuesday at 11 a.m. I want you to go. You know, if there's a trip and there's an opportunity for you to take your husband and your kids, you should. You know, I think those things are really important. I hate the term work-life balance.
I don't think that really.
I mean, this doesn't exist. But integration is important. And if you can integrate, you know, your purpose-driven life and have purpose-driven work, I think that's where true fulfillment comes from.
Well, it should all blend together.
It should.
I mean,
it should, but should's a bad word.
But those strengths that, you know, you show at work, I mean, the same stuff you should be bringing home, right? Yeah. It all should fit together.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm trying to make work meaningful for others. Well, I should be making life meaningful for my children. It's just a different crowd.
What was like that realization that I shared with you earlier when one of the coaches said to me, you forgot to include yourself in your mission to improve the quality of life of other people. And I thought, oh, that's so interesting. I also, going back to the mentorship piece, I had wonderful mentors who were one of the first distributors of Pepsi. And we had dinner one night and his name was Bud. And he said to me, what vacations did you take this year? I must have been 25. And I hadn't taken any vacations. There was a part of me that thought he was going to give me an accolade and say, gosh, you're such a hard worker. I'm so proud of you. And instead he said, I'm so disappointed. The message that you're giving your people is that they're not allowed to take vacation. And that stuck with me. You know, it stuck with me for 15 years.
So, you know, you were talking about taking walks and doing whatever. This was probably 15 years ago now. And I was just coming off a big project. I had a project management consulting business that I did. I was coming off a big project. Awesome. And so I'm on this gap and I'm kind of tooling back up to get out there. And something didn't feel right. So I decided I'm going to go up to Griffith Park. I love being in Orange County. I'm going to go up to Griffith Park and walk around and get some clarity. Honest to goodness, I get out of my car and it's like 7 a.m. I'm the only guy in the parking lot. And I hear like a voice, seriously, that said, take 3 months off.
Interesting.
Being a highly spiritually evolved guy, I said, what?
Yeah.
Seriously. I said, what? And I hear, take 3 months off. I then proceed to spend the rest of my time in Griffith Park arguing with myself about why guys like me don't take 3 months off. And by the time I left Heather, I had it down to 2 months.
Yeah.
With 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Then I go home. I tell my wife what happened. She goes, well, you're going to do it, of course.
Yeah. Right? So, you know, if it's a voice. Yeah.
So it was kind of funny. And I did. And it was life changing. But of course, my first reaction was, what? I can't do that. And I was at the perfect place, right?
Yeah.
There was nothing next. Had made a boatload of money.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, I can't do this.
Right.
I'm not a professor.
Yeah.
I'm not some pastor. We don't take sabbaticals. I'm a business guy.
What's so interesting, you know, my husband and I are taking the kids on a trip this summer to Tuscany, Paris, and Thailand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, kind of. That's
a lot of miles.
That's a whole nother crazy story. But there was a part of me that had some anxiety and thought, like, I'm going to have to work 2 hours here and there, and, you know, I'm going to have to make this work. Then you remember, like, this time is so precious and the kids still really like us. They want to be with us. They want to travel with us.
Yeah, jump on that now.
Yeah, yeah. So we're really looking forward to it. So I hope that now, as a leader, I set the right example.
That's good. Well, got to put a bow on this.
All right.
I always like to finish with, we talked about lots of different things here, but what's the one big idea? So if someone listened to this podcast and walked away, what's like the one thing you really want them to remember, Heather?
Well, In terms of purpose, I think, you know, if there's an idea or a seed planted in you, it's for you. I would say if you are inspired or you feel driven to something, pursue it, because it wouldn't be within you if it wasn't meant for you.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
We're already walking out our purpose. We just don't always recognize it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Heather, I appreciate you coming in. Phenomenal leader, doing amazing things. Love how you decided to do it entirely different.
Yeah.
This is the way we all should be doing it. We all should be doing it different.
Yeah.
And your results are great for everyone to say, yeah, it's okay to do that. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Keep on plowing. So.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
All righty. That's our show for today. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, Business for Good, and Cause San Diego. We're all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Geobreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best. We're all counting on you.